Some of my biggest compounding growths that I've ever had in my fitness, in my finances, and in my relationships was due to because of hiring a life coach. What a life coach allowed me to do is to not only understand my experiences, but take those experiences and also be able to look at it and reflect on it in a way where it not only healed me, it allowed me to really use a lot of those experiences to grow as an entrepreneur, as a trainer, and just as a human being. And today, I've been trying to get a life coach for like the past 10 weeks because it's been such a pivotal role in my life. And today, I got a buddy here with me. He's a therapist, he's an educator, but more importantly, he's also a life coach. Mm. So I'm excited to have him on, Moises Santiago. Welcome, man.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah. So I want to go right into it.
All right.
Because you're both life coach and therapist.
Yeah.
What the heck is the difference?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think when I think about life coaching and therapy, therapy really dives into the past and explores past behavior that may be affecting present behavior that's going to affect future behavior. Mm-hmm. Where life coaching, right, we do, I mean, you might explore some of the past, but you're really looking at the present. And you're really having, what changes do you want to make in the present that are going to impact the future?
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you got your therapist license.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of times people were just like, okay, cool, this is great. I got my therapy license. Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to start practicing.
Yeah.
Why did you were like, I'm going to go explore this avenue as well. what made you do that?
Multiple reasons. I think one of the things is diversifying what I do. Mm-hmm. Therapy can be super intense. Lots of people processing trauma.
Yeah.
And then adding life coaching brings balance because I don't need to help someone process trauma. If they do need that, I would then recommend them to a therapist.
Right.
But I can look at, okay, the people that come to me for life coaching, we're looking at, okay, what do you want to do in 6 months? Mm-hmm. How can we achieve that? And how can we work together to do that?
So you use them in conjunction to really affect your clients.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think some of the greatest coaches are the ones that leverage other specialties to make sure that the patient that's in front of them is healing at the best possible way.
Yeah.
I've seen, at least for me, sometimes I'm just like, I'm only going to do performance. Mm-hmm. But here's the sad thing. If you just focus on performance, what happens when they're injured?
Yeah.
So you're like, absolutely. I got to understand corrective exercise. I got to do all of those things. And by having both, it can be very special experience when someone has both of those.
And I mean, you invite the whole person in, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think for me, there are some crossovers between coaching and therapy because, I mean, there's a modality in therapy that's solution-focused therapy. Mm-hmm. One might say that life coaching is solution-focused, right? Because we're finding solutions. It's short-term, and we're making action steps to affect change later. So leveraging both, I think allows one, me to really see a client or a coaching client for who they are as a being and also notice when they're struggling and might need some emotional support as well.
I love it.
Mm.
Okay, so I want to talk about a little bit on the niche side.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry. This is what happens when people call me. I want to talk about like, because we were talking about what kind of coach are you? And a lot of times I think you don't choose the coach you become or like you don't quite choose what you're going to coach.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The world dictates what type of coach you will be over time.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just discussing, it was like, normally, I think if you ask that question, it's who you are 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I guess the question is, how do you know what type of coach should you be?
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking about, you know, for me, my journey through it was looking at my strengths. What am I already excelling in, have expertise in, and have training in? Mm-hmm. And so for me, I do a lot of mental well-being coaching, relational coaching, as well as work with children, because I'm also a licensed educator, right? And so teens, children, And also transitioning from childhood to adult, right? Like that teenage era to adult. And so I leveraged already what I was strong in.
Yeah.
Because why learn something new?
Right.
I've been doing it for so long. And like what you said, I have experience in it. And I've also seen my own evolution, yes. Right? Who I was 5 years ago to who I am now. Goodness, what a change.
So mental well-being, because that's a huge,
yeah, very true.
A huge field. Yeah. What aspects are you talking about? Like anxiety or talking about depression?
All of it.
Okay.
So I'm talking about, right, I'm trained.
Yeah.
And so what I'm really focusing on, though, is not exploring the past, though, right? Mm-hmm. What are the current, what are you currently feeling inside or not feeling? Mm-hmm. Because I also integrate body, right? The body tells us already if things are happening.
Yes.
And so my life coaching clients may come in and say, I'm struggling here, right? I'm struggling to process emotions. I'm struggling in my relationships with my family, with my partner. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it might be exploring, okay, well, like what communication styles do you have? What do you feel physically in your body that's an indicator that something needs to change?
Mm. So you process a lot of that emotional feeling.
Mm.
First, you mm-hmm. identify it.
Yeah.
So run me through. So let's just say I'm anxious. I have all of these things that I got to do.
Uh-huh. You're anxious. Know? Yeah.
So I'm like, hey, dude, I gotta pay the bills.
Yeah.
I got to hire this coach.
Yeah.
I got to fire this person. Yeah. You know, I'm losing here, but I'm gaining here. Yeah. I got to shoot this podcast and I got to edit.
Yeah. It sounds stressful.
Sorry. So coach me. What do I got
to
do?
Well, it sounds stressful. It's a stressful thing to go through. I think validating, empathizing, all of that goes a long way. Secondly, I would say, what is top priority?
Mm.
And also thinking about how is your body responding to all the tasks?
Yes.
Because if you're not on the list of priority on the task, which many people actually, when I coach them, I'm like, where are you on the list?
Right.
There's no answer.
Yeah.
And so I would be putting myself priority one. What does it look like, feel like, and sound like to take care of me in order to accomplish the tasks?
Wow.
And then looking at what is urgent, mm-hmm. What has to be done today, what can wait? And also, how much room in your body do you have bandwidth for the low priority tasks?
Right. That's so good because I teach that to my coaches.
Mm.
When was the last time you took care of yourself? Yes. That's the first step.
Yeah.
And then the second step that you just like built out so nicely was what is the most top priority?
Because
if you tackled this dragon, how much stress would you have left?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Or how much less would it be?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the other stuff is like, what are all the stuff that you don't need?
Yeah, absolutely. I think people need clarity. Mm-hmm. I think people come to coaches for clarity. Mm-hmm. But one thing is that I'm not a leader in your life. I'm a guide. You're creating the map. I'm helping with the map.
Wow.
And so for me, this is my approach. People may have different approaches, but as me as a human, I am not the navigator, the clarity person in your life. You are. And reconnecting with yourself to find what is and what you want is crucial because the goal for me isn't for a client to be with me forever, right? Yes. I want them to be the teacher of themselves eventually.
You're the Yoda, and then they're the Luke Skywalker.
Yeah.
Guys, you have to replay what this guy just said because that was just magic. You're the guide.
Yeah.
Right? And I think that's what makes you so impactful. I think some of the best life coaches are guides. They're not dictators.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And I've been in scenarios like that.
Absolutely.
I've hired multiple life coaches. I was like, this person doesn't even know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
He's just telling me I got business coaches, not life coaches. My business coaches has been, the relationship has been more like that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
My life coaches was like, oh, this is very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
They almost come to a place of like,
mm-hmm.
They're more excited about it instead of prejudgments.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just like what I've noticed.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, something that we chatted about was leading with curiosity and wonder, right? I think the best coaches lead with questions because that helps clarify the route that may need to be taken.
Yeah.
And also, there is more power in a client reflecting and coming to their solution than me giving a solution. There's multiple ways to get to where you need to be. We just need to find the one that is tailored to you, because we all have different personalized and lived experiences.
100%. And here's I just had an epiphany. Mm. The most important exchange in that session between you and the life coach is not what the life coach is saying. Mm. It's what you're saying inside that session. Absolutely. And every time I go out of those sessions and I say something, I was like, I can't believe I came up with that solution. Mm. And it creates this massive ripple effect. Mm-hmm. And all that was the necessary ingredient was somebody that was in there, that was unbiased, that was gathering information and taking some of those massive information and then presenting it.
Mm. I mean, I think that goes into the expertise part, right? Mm-hmm. Coaching, it is unregulated.
Right.
And this is why there needs to be expertise, because I can't just say I'm a coach without the knowledge, because I need to know how to guide someone.
Right.
Anyone can call themselves a coach.
And there is. And that's why I had to create this podcast. I think it was like 6.7 million or more just like the past year of different types of coaches. Mm. And it's just cringy to hear that, because some of them are just like, I'm just a coach now, without really experiencing life. They just kind of got a certification, and then now they're like, I'm a grief coach, and they're 13.
I mean, you know, I guess what came to mind was, not all coaches are created the same. Right.
Yeah.
And there's room for us all.
Yeah.
Because I do think, you know, people are seeking certain types of people, and that's important.
Right.
But my recommendation when you're seeking out a coach is start with the end in mind. What are you trying to accomplish? Mm-hmm. And what does a coach look like for you? What do you need from them in order to feel comfortable? Because you are being vulnerable.
Yes.
You have to open up.
Yes.
Right? And so what does that look like? If you struggle to open up, may coaching be the thing for you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or do you need to kind of explore why you're struggling first?
Yes.
Maybe with a mental well-being coach.
Yeah. You know how I equate this is like when you're in the dating pool, every person you date, you're not going to marry.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with the coaches. Every coach, every therapist, every business coach, every personal trainer that you've hired might not be the first one you're going to marry. Mm-hmm. You might have to go through a lot to find the love of your life.
Yeah.
Or the coach of your life, or the life coach of your life.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So I think that's one of the, if you go with that in mind, that you're not going to, not every coach is going to be great. We talked about it, like not every therapist is going to be great. We've seen, I've seen countless.
Yeah.
Some of the trainers, I'm like, how are you even a trainer?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it just breaks my heart. So I think you just have to go through that.
Yeah, I think, you know, starting with low expectations is good because it is true. The first coach that you may find may not be your fit, but don't give up.
Yes.
Because that could be a barrier as well. And there is a coach that will align with what your values and what you're seeking, but you got to put in the work. Right? Yeah, yeah. Just like I put in the work when I found this CrossFit gym. I researched y'all. I looked at if you were queer friendly, if you were, if there were people of color. I tested out the waters, diversity in the team. Y'all weren't just like, I just showed up. I did my research in order to be here. So why wouldn't you do your research for anything else?
Guys, he just pointed out something. Do your research. It's very similar to just like if you went to an aisle and you're trying to find healthy foods, you're not just going to be like, I'm going to pick this, I'm going to pick that out.
That's true.
Sometimes you have to look at the back of the label, see where it was made, see all the ingredients.
Yes.
Shoot, you might even just buy a package, taste it, and be like, oh, this is not mine.
Yeah.
Or you taste it, and then you're like, okay, this is it.
Yeah.
So I think that's like one of the biggest things that break my heart is they hire one coach. They have one blanket statement. Yes, they're like, this is, happens all the time. CrossFit hurts people.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dang it, someone messed it up for everybody. And that's not true. Or life coaches, they have no idea what life is like. And it ruins it for people.
Or a bad therapist too. Right?
Or a bad therapist. Yeah.
Not going back.
And I think there's so many good ones out there. Yes. You just have to You just have to just like, okay, I'm going to experiment.
Mm.
Maybe they're just one version of this.
Yes, yeah. I mean, I think it brings up a good point, right? Try it out. Lead with curiosity. And if you don't find, if that's not the coach for you, then continue to hunt. Just like you did for your partner, or just like you do for your favorite foods or restaurants or countries you're going to visit, right? We're sifting out. Mm-hmm. And so it's the same thing with coaching.
Yeah. So I shared a story with you where the deepest and the darkest moments that I've ever had wasn't through failure.
Mm-hmm.
It was through successes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it was very interesting because I thought it'd be the opposite way.
Hmm.
You would assume that when you have these massive failure mm-hmm. moments, you're mm-hmm. just like, you're like, cool, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think, at least for me, why do you think for me it was so dark when I got to where I needed to be in business and in my finances and my health? What do you think that?
Well, I think that this is a very layered question
mm-hmm.
because I think that gender goes into this question.
Mm-hmm.
I think that identifying as a male and being a man and a male in society, that, right, the expectation is you're getting to a certain point, and that's what we're really working toward, and then you get there. And then you're like, what's next? Is this life?
Yeah.
And you then start to kind of analyze the inner experience alongside the external and start to think about possibly, and correct me if I'm wrong, how am I doing? What do I want to do next?
Yeah.
And do I even want to do anything more?
And that's exactly my whole narrative. I focused so much on the external world.
Mm-hmm.
Like I told you, I had a six pack.
Yeah.
I finally made six figures in my business. I had my wife. I had my kid.
Yeah.
And it was all external.
Yeah.
And I was in the darkest place. Mm-hmm. And this is why I wanted to bring a life coach mm-hmm. because it completely changed my life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like I helped a person lose 50 pounds. Mm-hmm. He came up to me and was like, hey, dude, you let me lose 50 pounds. Let me help you lose 50
mm-hmm.
pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't mean physically. Right. He meant internally.
Yeah.
He detected it so much.
Mm.
And in just that conversation, I was like, you know what? I'll give him an opportunity.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And we had that 1 hour.
Mm-hmm.
And I had this revelation. I was like, oh my gosh, we can be intentional about our emotions.
Mm-hmm.
We can get physically fit, but we can also get emotionally fit.
Mm-hmm.
We can get spiritually fit.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that stemmed into just like a ripple effect. And that's why I'm so passionate about bringing other coaches in, because you put a good coach in any environment.
Yeah.
It's going to change their life. It's going to change hundreds of lives.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I mean, I think one thing about it too, right? Like I go into schools all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that I love to see is re-inspiring clients and therapy, re-inspiring for life. Coaching, re-inspiring, because a lot of people are walking around uninspired.
In the educational side you're talking about?
I think in life.
In general, I see this a lot. There's a lot of teachers that we have in our gym.
There is. I noticed that.
Right? And I'm like, but they're different because they take care of themselves.
Yes.
And you know, I'll go to my son's school and I'll pick people up and they're just like, their eyes are down.
Yes.
And I really don't think they were like that at the start.
No.
They were inspired to really help these kids and they go into these systems.
Yeah.
And it's like they're an entirely different person.
Yeah, I agree. I think you're right. You know, I think when it comes to niche, that's actually something that I really enjoy is helping teachers manage and put boundaries in place to leave school and live their life.
What do you think they change? Like, what happens? Like,
it's a breakdown. I think it's a breakdown. Teachers are social workers, counselors, first aid, nurses. We are clothing drives. We are a hub now.
Yeah.
The school is a hub for all services, and it lands mainly on an educator and some support alongside all the educational pieces.
So you see someone that's visibly drained, that's a teacher.
Mm.
What do you do? Do you just first you talk to them, you build a relationship.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And let's just say you build a relationship and eventually they're like, hey, I need help.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I think for me, how I navigate that is, do you want to leave teaching?
Yeah.
Right? Let's just be honest. Is this where you see yourself long term? Mm-hmm. And if not, then what changes can we make? And if so, what changes can we make? Mm-hmm. Right? And so most don't want to leave. Mm-hmm. Most just don't have boundaries in place to support mental well-being and to support mm-hmm. themselves post the classroom.
Okay, let's unpack that. Boundaries. Mm,
yeah.
Give me some.
I love boundaries.
Because I think it's gonna help teachers.
Yeah.
It's gonna help coaches. Yeah. It's gonna help entrepreneurs.
That's true.
All right, how do I create these boundaries?
Listen, if you're trying to lose weight but you're just frustrated because you just can't seem to see any results, we would love to help you out. Now, we've been helping thousands of our athletes over the course of a decade by crafting personalized programs that are not only sustainable, but also effective. Now, if you're ready to transform your health, click on the show notes below, book a call with one of our coaches. We'd love to help you out. Now back to the show. Peace.
I love boundaries. There's a really great book called Set Boundaries, Find Peace by Nedra Tawab Glover. She's okay. on Insta as well. She's like a boundary guru. That's who I model my work after. Okay. And a lot of it with boundaries, I mean, in this case, is like there's no email on my phone for when I was an educator. Wow. Once I left my contract time,
yeah.
I was out. I was known in my school as the person that left right at 2:21. And they would come and they'd make jokes. I'm like, yes, I have to go to the gym at 2:21, okay. right? Because and you just have to be okay with the discomfort of everyone else trying to push you into the norm.
Wow.
You have to be okay with the discomfort that people are going to want you to fall. They're going to push your boundaries and yes. to give in.
It's so true.
Yeah.
You know, I've been in scenarios where I joined a gym type of culture.
Mm.
And I think there's even a stigma where it's like, no, you work hard and just like burn out.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's like, what do you mean you're not coaching on Saturdays or Fridays?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that's, you know, and there's that layer of discomfort.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually that discomfort becomes comfortable. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden others start to question yes. about their life and then they start to come through.
Mm-hmm.
I've noticed this in my business when I started taking certain days off.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it was a massive ripple effect because now they're like, Royce is taking a day off. Maybe I should have a vacation. I was like, you should.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, you should. And it's going to create this ripple effect. Mm-hmm. So one, creating boundaries, live in that discomfort.
Mm-hmm.
You said something about email. Did you mean turn off your email?
It wasn't on my phone.
It's just not on your phone.
Yeah, when I was an educator, no.
Okay.
And people would, I'd be like, oh, that's a 7:11 a.m. email check.
Yeah.
It wasn't. And when people would then push, well, you have to, why?
Yeah.
Where is it in my contract? Right? Because for me, I knew that if I put that email on my parents are emailing, principals emailing, Saturdays, Sundays, pushing me into a stressful state when I'm trying to live peace. And thinking about, is it worth breaking my peace over?
Right.
And it wasn't.
Yeah.
And so that was one thing. There wasn't an email on my phone attached to teaching. I left right at contract time. And every moment of my day was working, though.
Right.
I really utilized every moment of my working day to be able to have a full life afterward.
Yeah.
And so we also might need to, when you're looking at your own life and making changes, are you using your time efficiently, effectively during the day in order to create more peace later?
Because I think there's a lot of, imagine if you weren't serving these kids with just, you're so stressed out. And that's why I feel like it's just a never ending cycle.
Yes. Yeah.
And I feel like, so I used to text my clients at like 8:30, which also gives them, they're like, oh, it's okay to text Royce at 8:30.
Right.
So by doing that, it reinforces their habit.
Yeah.
Now, like for me, like if they do text me at 6, I'll text them once and be like, hey, dude, you should do X, Y, and Z. Now I'm going to go spend time with my family. And then they're immediately just like, oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I love that.
Right? And then it creates almost a boundary in its own, but you're still responding with care.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So I love that. And let's, on the peace end, So you have the discomfort you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Is it other teachers telling you what to do? Is it your principals telling you what to do?
I think it comes just from, we're in the helping profession, mm-hmm. right? You're in the helping profession. I'm in the helping profession. And sometimes people in the helping profession overextend. Mm-hmm. And they feel also culture, right?
Yeah.
What does culture feel like? We live in hustle mm-hmm. culture. We live in productive culture, yeah. right? That we're productivity means if you're resting, you're unproductive. Instead of yeah. rest is productive.
Rest is the only time you build muscle.
Whoa.
Right?
I didn't. Yeah, I guess so. You tell me.
It is. You're true. The professional. Yeah. It's true, man.
Yeah. And also, I mean, rest is the only time, right, that your body gets to reset.
Exactly.
Right? But, I mean, I think a lot of it is that we're just in such a dire state when it comes to the educational landscape and need, right? Vegas alone has 2,000 open positions, licensed open positions.
Oh, my gosh.
So what that means is that there is going to be pressure on the people in buildings. Already, because you have 2,000 licensed positions that are currently open.
Right. If you were going to be a mayor,
let's
play the, and then you have all this power.
Uh-huh.
What would you implement in the educational system? And just like, no, guys, this is mandatory. This is what we do.
Equitable wages.
Okay.
1,000.
Okay.
We're upping wages.
Okay. Initially.
Yes. Because we know that if people don't feel fairly compensated, the effort is less.
That's true. Yeah.
Compensation, we all trying to make a living.
Right.
And when we're affecting change with future generations, shouldn't they be equitably compensated for the work right. that is directly going to affect our future?
Right.
Landscapes, our earth.
Yeah. Okay. So changing that, what else?
I would then say support.
Support in what way?
Support in professional learning. A lot of schools are just, teachers are given curriculums and given things without professional learning okay. around them. And we know that when that happens, students receive less education because a teacher is trying to on the go learn something.
Right.
And there's a learning loss. Yeah. And so I mean, part of that support, right, professional learning, letting experts go in to model, to share, to guide educators on how to be productive in the curriculums that they're using in order to support students.
I love it.
Mm.
Would you like advise like, hey, let's teach you boundaries too?
Mm, yeah.
Like what would you?
I think one thing, this is tough because I think if we change those things, mm-hmm. right, there are ripple effects that just happen.
Yeah.
And so like changing wages, adding support like that, yeah. things for teachers start to dissipate, less stress.
Right.
Right. So then there's more bandwidth. Mm-hmm. Then there's more bandwidth to explore themselves, find coaches, more time outside of school mm-hmm. in order to work on themselves. You know, I don't think that it should be necessarily put into the school system because people aren't ready till they're ready. True, and being yeah. mandated to do something, it could be optional. Yeah. But one thing about all things, people need to go at their own pace.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, the most powerful thing is people modeling and then thinking, why does this person have something that I don't?
Yeah.
Why do they leave on time? Why are they happy? Why are they inspired? Right? And you might get pushback. I did.
Yeah.
I had an educator that just did not like me because yeah. I was joyous.
Did you have an immediate effect on the others? Did other people start following suit because you were that example, or was like, you were the only one that was joyful in that?
No, there was a lot of joy too. You know, I had a core group that really, there's a lot of laughter and joy and we're still really connected now. Mm-hmm. But that's just because we had similar mindsets, mm-hmm. right? That this is not our life.
Right.
We want to live our life in a way that brings peace, joy. This is one slice of the pie. Mm-hmm. How do we continue to cultivate all the other pieces that make life joyous, yes. inspiring?
See, I love that because it doesn't necessarily have to trickle from the top.
Yeah.
Right? People wait till like, oh, I wish my boss was more joyous. It was like, no, you can be joyous now.
Yes, yeah.
And through that, you can create your core group and you can have this amazing, joyful life. And if it trickles to the top, sweet. Mm-hmm. But you can be that example.
I mean, and that goes into barriers, right? What challenges? You know, one of the questions that you asked was, you know, what are the challenges that you see with clients, with people that you work with? Mm-hmm. And it's them choosing change.
Yeah.
Coming outside of, I'm waiting for something else or someone else to change in order for me to change, instead of saying, I'm going to change even if everything around me doesn't.
Yes.
And that's a good thing, very powerful, but also kind of like...
That was one of the biggest revelations for me. You can't change anyone outside of you. You want to change, if you want to have any influence, change you first.
Yeah.
We talked about Byron Katie's work, which was pivotal for me.
Yes.
Right? It was like, judge your neighbor, turn around, ask questions. Like,
yes.
And it was, and guys, if read this book, it completely changed my life, but...
Loving What Is, right?
Is that what it is?
Yeah. Loving What Is by Byron Katie. Yep, yep, yep.
But low key, the first initial phase was like, oh man, I'm a piece of shit. when I did the work, because I judged a lot of people, and I'm trying to change a lot of people. Mm-hmm. But as you get deeper into the work of what Byron Katie was talking about, you start to realize that what you're judging people about is actually what you're judging yourself about, which is like, oh, then you get to this. I got to this level of acceptance.
Yeah.
And then from acceptance, I was able to just all of a sudden, instead of judging, I became curious.
Yeah.
And that curiosity was way more abundant than being judgeful.
Yeah.
And it really started to shift my essence, but also my conversations with people directly in front of me, because now I did all that work.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why people don't change as much, because it's so uncomfortable.
It is.
You're confronting your old self and you're like, you're not that.
It is really.
You can be better.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think it is really uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, something that I say to a lot of clients is choose the hard.
Yeah.
It's hard being in the place that you are, and it's hard changing.
Yes.
Which hard are you going to lean into? Because regardless, it's hard. Mm-hmm. And I recommend choosing the hard that's going to lead to the outcome you want. Again, think with the end in mind. What does your life look like, feel like, and sound like? What do you as a being look like, feel like, and sound like in 6 months and a year? And let that be your compass.
And then you can adjust based on that.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Can I ask one question? Because I was looking at your bio and you did stuff with grief.
Grief.
And to be pretty transparent, there's a lot of my clients, a lot of my friends. Actually, one of my good friends just passed away just recently, heart attack, right? How do you, I mean, I think I'm not speaking just for myself. It's speaking from some of the people that I closely care about because I don't think they have tools for grief.
Yeah.
And I've explored it so many times because I've had clients for 15 plus years and not all of them are 25.
Yeah.
Some of them are 80, you know,
and
when they're at that level, there's at least 20, 30 of their friends that are dying.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? So, How do you help someone go through something that's so painful like that?
Yeah, you know, I think with grief, a lot of grief support looks like validating the experience that they're having initially. Mm-hmm. And also setting proper expectations that grief is not linear. Grief is up and down, it's sideways. Grief is going to, you might be in anger, you might be in acceptance, right? You are going to go through the phases of grief multiple times.
Yeah.
And also setting the expectation that it may never stop hurting.
Yeah.
But it's not about stopping the hurt. It's about stopping the intensity that your body and you emotionally inside are feeling, reducing the intensity.
It's not brand new to them. Something that we do in fitness is, hey, there's three phases in terms of losing weight.
Mm-hmm.
The first step is you're going to be sore. Are you okay with that? They're like, like setting the expectation. Because sometimes they're like, what? I have to be sore? I have to be feeling this burn?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, you have to.
Yeah.
You know, it softens the blow. They're almost experiencing it.
Yeah.
And then with grief, you're just like, hey, there's going to be highs and there's going to be lows and it's going to be forever.
Yes.
And it's going to be in random moments. Mm,
yes.
Right? So, and then the second one was, we got to moderate your carbohydrates. Mm-hmm. These are like the carbohydrates, the fats, the proteins.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last, oh gosh, I'm forgetting the last phase, but it was, bear with me real quick. So it was feeling the soreness, understanding how to eat really, really well. Oh, and the final one was learning how to stress management, learning how to recover.
Yeah.
When you build those expectations out, the client already, I already feel like they get into some sense of peace. That it's normal to feel this particular way.
Yeah, I think it's true. I think we're all looking, we forget that we're living the human experience because we're so cut off from other people at times that we forget that this is a normal part of a process.
Yeah.
And when it comes to grief, right, like knowing that there are stages, I think the second piece would be, are you okay with sitting in grief?
Yeah.
Whatever that moment or that emotion is, not running. And I'm not saying that you have to sit with it for long, but challenge yourself if you haven't, can you sit with it for a minute?
Yeah.
And then how can we sit for two and three and just notice but not become.
It. Yeah. Just experience the feeling, the emotion. I feel like physiology or physically there's there's a response.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That you can notice. I was like, okay, I'm getting into this grief state.
Yeah.
And being okay with it.
Yeah.
Dude, there was something that I read. This was like 5 years ago, because I swear they go into seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Your clients will lose two or three people in their life right away. And one of the concepts was, and I want to give an example, was you remember when like we left Pakistan or one of the Middle East countries and people were hanging on to the airplane and they were all just falling. Because we were leaving that.
Yeah.
And it sounds brutal, but I didn't feel any grief from that. I mean, I was traumatized. I was like, that's just sad. But then when I lose a cousin, why was this one more tangible? Why did it hurt so much more? And I had a realization that the greater the grief, the greater the gift. And when you really start to unpack the gift that your loved one gave, you know, it's like those are the things that trigger me. It's like I had a really good friend. His name was Joel. He lost his life in a car accident, a motorcycle accident, like instantly just died. Right. And every time I think about him and I have these moments of grief, it's because I remember him like grabbing his mom when she would be so mad. You know, Hispanic moms, they throw the chalas, whatever.
Yeah, chanclas.
Yeah, chanclas. And he would pick her up when she's so mad.
Yeah.
And she would stop after a while. It's like, I'll put you down, mom, when you relax. You know, I'll remember those moments because now I do the same thing for my mom when she's mad because I'm much bigger than she is.
Yeah.
So I remember, like, those are the gifts.
Mm.
So it's like, it's such a powerful concept. I don't know what you think about it, but.
Well, I think what came to mind is, you know, I recently just lost my dad. And I actually spent Dia de los Muertos in Mexico this past end of October, November.
Yeah.
And culturally speaking, right, for me, we are in this moment, even with your friend, we're bringing him back, right? Because different cultures have different ways of what life means,
right?
For us in Mexico, that time, they come back. We had an altar for all of our loved ones that had passed with food, their favorite food, right? So that they knew how to come home.
Right.
And for that day, there was collective grieving.
Mm-hmm.
But also there was collective peace.
Yeah.
And so I think when I think about grief and think about clients in grief and what I have guided with is think about how you want to continue to keep them alive. What does that mean for you?
Yeah.
You know, and we know that memories are like a roadmap, right?
It is.
Every time you recall a memory, mm-hmm. you are reinforcing that memory in your brain and keeping that person alive.
It's so good.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like grief just becomes a different emotion. Mm-hmm. Just like when you're feeling the burn in an exercise, at first you're like, this sucks. I don't want this.
Mm-hmm.
But then there is a stage where you feel the burn, but you're happy.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think the final stage of grief, and mm-hmm. I've experienced it with some of my friends, mm-hmm. is I smile now.
Yeah.
I'll smile, but I'll cry.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
You know, and it's like, I feel the grief, but I also feel the gift, and I also feel that he's still alive.
Yes, absolutely.
And that's like, at least for me, I haven't experienced close relatives passing away, but I have had a lot of friends that pass, and that's, and I think that's like, I don't know, that's my version of it.
I mean, I think I think I'm pretty similar in alignment with that. Mm-hmm. I think something too that we don't talk about with grief is there can be grief around transitions.
Mm-hmm.
There can be grief around pet death. Pet death is equated to human death, mm-hmm. right? The physical responses that we experience with pets are the same with humans, right? Transitions, leaving a job, leaving a relationship.
Changing identities,
all of that. Taps into grief,
yeah.
right? And it all feels different,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And so I think going back to leading with curiosity, mm-hmm. right? How does this feel different than this grief? Yeah. How can I support myself? Or what do I need from someone, a coach, in order to feel supported in this part of my grieving process?
So powerful. Mm. Okay, I want to talk about this because I feel like men have a stigma around life coaching. And I'm talking about me in the past. Like for a while, someone would be like, hey, yeah, I'm a life coach. And I just roll my eyeballs. And I was like, here we go again. You know? And you know, I think it happens a lot to men, one. But for women, it's like, it's no big deal. Like, why do you think men in general... I want more men to hire more life coaches, to be completely honest, right?
Yeah.
And I say that in a way because it's been so impactful in so many aspects of my life, in my relationship, for sure, right? My fitness, dude, I'm fitter because I've had a life coach.
Yeah.
I'm making more money because of a life coach.
Absolutely.
Why do you think there's a stigma around that?
Well, I think this is also a multi-layered question.
I gotta throw them out there for you, man.
You know, I think, one, again, we have to look at stereotypes and gender norms, historical, societal. And we have to think about, right, when it comes to emotional or personal challenges, men have kind of done it alone. Lone wolf mentality.
Yeah.
Right? And that, think about, right? Women are gatherers. Men are fighters, warriors. That whole entire ideology feeds into do it alone.
Yeah.
And I think as well as that women tap into the emotional experience more than men because of that lone wolf mentality that men have. And we're seeing a break though, right? You are evidence of that. I'm seeing more male clients, right? I think one of the things that I see a barrier is I don't want to appear weak or vulnerable.
Yes.
And if I appear weak or vulnerable, then that means I'm exposed.
Yeah. That's 100%, at least a major of my narrative. I don't want to look weak.
Mm.
And then in the back of my mind, it's my dad saying, dude, boys don't cry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Hide your emotions. Keep working really, really hard. And I think there's an advantage to that.
Yes.
I've gotten pretty far with that.
Yes.
But it's a recipe for massive levels of depression, massive levels of anxiety.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of times I feel like that voice also, if I'm not processing it, guess what? I'm giving it out to the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's where men start to abuse and in other ways. It doesn't even have to be like physical abuse. It could be self-abuse.
Yeah,
through alcohol, through drugs, through whatever.
Yeah.
Right? And that's just like, breaks my heart because it's not weak.
Mm.
Every moment that I spent time, it's with a coach to just decipher what I'm feeling and thinking, mm-hmm. I don't get weak. I get mm-hmm. stronger.
Yeah.
Which is, this is the reason why I wanted to bring a life coach, because part of it is like, hey guys, it's not weak. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In fact, if you want to get really strong, hire a coach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and I've hired so many coaches mm-hmm, now, mm-hmm. and I've noticed my business coaches are also life coaches, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. I've also noticed my marketing coach is also a life coach, because they holistically look at the whole thing. Yeah. They just niche themselves down into one area of what they're really expert at, but they're tapping into how they're balancing their life.
Right.
Right. They're just, but then it's just now it's, it makes, now they're just blending it in, but really, dude, you're... Mm-hmm. You're hiring a life coach.
Yeah, I mean, I think something that I heard you say was there are narratives that we have carried that have served a purpose. Mm-hmm. Like you said, right? Boys don't cry. We just keep going, right? Yeah. That has served a purpose.
It has.
Yeah. And part of it is that we're also carrying narratives that may no longer be serving us.
Yeah.
And so thinking about what narratives do I have? And how do I honor them? Because without them, we wouldn't be in this moment.
100%.
Right? They brought us to this moment. But now we also have to say, you can rest now, because we have to change the narrative. Mm-hmm. Because it is true. Loneliness, isolation leads to anxiety, depression. It leads to death by suicide.
Right.
Right? All of that. And so my challenge, right, like what you said, is it isn't weak. Mm-hmm. And you get more powerful and stronger.
Yeah.
I think, you know, creating spaces like this where there's a physical, we're working on the physical, but also something that I love about CrossFit and specifically these CrossFits is that we're also not only thinking about the physical, there's moments of reflection.
Yeah.
And with the people that come, I see a moment, or people want to be better.
Yeah.
Right? And it is who you are is who you become, or who you're with is who you become.
It's so good. Dude, I'm going to go share something really fast because now I was just like running through my head. And I had a session, I feel like in your life coaching sessions, not every session is going to be pivotal, but there's some that are so pivotal.
Yeah, totally.
And then there was one where I had to speak about my dad. Mm. And my dad watches this, by the way. We're much closer now. So dad, shout out. But there was a session on you. And I literally laid it out. Mm. I was like, I hate this. Mm-hmm. I hate how he did that. Mm. Like literally all the hate and blame. Yeah. I laid it out. Yeah. It was actually more a therapeutic session. Mm-hmm. But the life coach was like, this is what he did. He was like, why do you love him so much?
Mm, yeah.
And I was like, what do you mean? I just complained about his whole thing.
Yeah.
And he said, why do you love him so much? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Because you wouldn't have all this hate if you didn't love him. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I had to pause there for a little bit, because I was like, were you even listening to me? Mm-hmm. And actually he was. Mm-hmm. And then the practice was like, okay, what are all of the things of why you love him? And then I list them all out. I was like, it's because he's hardworking, right? It's because he came from zero to nothing, right? It's because he had to make a sacrifice to leave our family for X amount of years to become a citizen. Mm. And I couldn't imagine leaving my son for 7 years and not seeing him.
Yeah.
And it started to I'm thinking about him like, dude, this guy did a lot.
Yeah.
I can't imagine not seeing my son for 7 years and then being a complete stranger. Hmm. He had to probably, his heart had to be broken, because my son sees me as like, dad, what's up? I looked at him as a stranger. Mm-hmm. And knowing that is your own son you're going to leave him for 7 years had to be so heartbreaking. He's coming from this experience and this canvas, and I'm just not appreciating it, right? Mm. But the moment I did that work, mm-hmm. I opened up to my dad. Mm. And from that point on, I find more similarities with my dad than I am with my mom. Like, incredible, right? It's moments of weaknesses that you can turn into strengths.
Yeah.
And now I'm like learning from him. Mm-hmm. Now instead of judging him, I'm learning from him. Mm. Because we're experiencing the same thing, maybe at a different level.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hearing you say, right? Like, you're living the human experience and you're allowing yourself to tap into his experience.
Exactly.
Right? I think relationships are complex.
It's fun too, though.
Right?
Yeah.
I think ride it out like the wave.
Yeah.
I think about all of it and, you know, there's joy, there's sadness, there's anger, there's excitement. And if we lead with curiosity, we get a lot farther in our relationships.
Yes.
And it sounds like you leaned into that.
Yes. I love it. Okay, because I know you have an appointment coming up. All right? I don't want to make sure I don't hold you back. I'm going to have to get you here again with other coaches. I think it would be exciting to bring in other life coaches or just
yes,
coaches in general.
I think so.
I want to end with this question because life coaches are very different.
Yeah.
What makes a good life coach?
I think that's a very, well, objectively speaking, let me come at it from an objective standpoint, and then I'll go into a subjective one. Mm-hmm. Objectively speaking, I think someone who has expertise in what you're looking for, mm-hmm. someone who can take a step back and realize that we're a guide in the work, we're not the leaders in the work. Mm. Also, I think someone who has their own shit in check and yeah. processing with their own coach, because I think that we all need mentors, mm-hmm. right? Do we ever reach a level where we're the mentor? Mm-hmm. I don't think so. I think that we are, no matter what level you're at, find someone that's always learning, continuous learner. I think subjectively for me, I'm looking for someone that reflects my inner experience and my external experience and my identities. Someone that I vibe with, mm-hmm. because connection is everything. And without connection, I know that I'm not going to want to engage in the work.
I love it. So I want to unpack it. So yeah. some of them, you find similarities. Mm-hmm. One that was so cool was you just said, they're doing the work.
Mm.
You can tell they're still doing the work.
Yeah.
Right? That's like, if you're going to hire a trainer, that trainer better be working out. Yeah. You know what I mean? If you're going to hire a life coach, that life coach better be working on his own yeah. life like crazy amounts.
Yeah.
So they align real well.
Mm.
If you want to hire the best sales coach, this sales coach better be working on his sales.
Yeah.
Craft. And yeah. he's selling like crazy.
Yeah.
So it's just hard, like, it's hard for me to just hire someone that's not doing the work.
Yeah.
And it's just, and those, and I fired some bad ones. I was like, how do you know what I'm going through? You're not even working that hard.
Yeah.
So if someone's, if I want to get 10X mm-hmm. in my fitness, in my business, they have to have somewhat of very similar aligned values for me. Otherwise, I might not be the one.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying they're bad. They might just be for the person that's like,
yeah,
how do I just balance out?
Yeah,
and just like chill out.
Yeah. I mean, the reality is that we're not for everyone and everyone is not for us.
Exactly.
I mean, and that's okay because there's room for everyone.
Yeah.
It's just finding the person that you're for and the coach as well. I think a part of this too is, you know, a coach in any type of setting, being able to look at a client realistically as well and be like, are you willing to put in the work?
Yes.
Because if not, I don't want to waste your time or your money. Mm-hmm. And it's frustrating when people don't put in the work at times, right? Yeah. They may think they want to put in the work, but they may not be ready in keeping the door open.
There was a marketing guru that I talked to.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, if you're for everyone, you're for no one.
Yeah.
But if you're for someone,
mm-hmm.
you're for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Which I was like, what are you talking about, mm-hmm. sensei?
Yeah.
And it really started to make sense.
Mm.
Because when you try to target everyone, you become so bland and distilled yes. that no one understands what your essence and who mm-hmm. you truly are at your core.
Yeah.
But then when you're really serving that person that's in front mm-hmm. of you, people see who you are.
Yeah.
And you're either super attracted to them mm-hmm. or you're very repelled by them.
Yeah.
And it serves both ways.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that.
Yeah. I think it takes a level of reflection and introspection to be okay with that.
Mm.
To be okay that I'm not for everyone and they may not be for me too.
Yeah.
And that's doing the work.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right.
And that's when you know that coach is doing the work. He's like, he doesn't need me.
Full circle.
Yeah. See? All right. So So for the audience, how do they find you? How do they work with you? I'll put the Instagram, your website on the notes. Where can they find you?
Where can you find me? Well, right now as I'm building, I'm in a building stage right now. And honestly, I think where I'm at is building, but also finding rest. Mm-hmm. But where can you find me?
Yeah.
Psychology Today. Okay. Reach out that way. Moises Santiago. Yeah. Type in Las Vegas. I'll pop up. Yeah. Instagram at Moisant. M-O-I-S-A-N-T.
Yeah.
Talk to Royce. He can connect us.
Beautiful.
And yeah.
If you type in his name, Moises Santiago, on Instagram, you're going to find a kajillion.
Yes.
We were talking about this. I was like, me and my wife was like, there can't be that many Moises Santiagos. And turns out there's a kajillion. I was like, there's no way. I thought this was such a unique name.
Yeah. So, there are many of us.
I know.
And I've only met a couple, actually. Probably three in my life.
Well, dude, thank you for being here. I'm going to have to get you on another time as well.
Yeah.
I'm excited for your practice and your journey. So
thank you.
Thanks for coming, man.
Yeah, I appreciate your time.